We're doing the Gemara in Gittin, Daf Nun Zayin, and we had learned the story of Kamta and Bar Kamta, how the host had shamed Bar Kamta, and Bar Kamta, because he was so hurt, went and ratted to the Roman king, and ultimately brought about the destruction of the temple. So the Gemara says over here, Rabbi Elazar says, we should take note what power there is, how weighty it is before God when one is shamed. Because we find that God really helped Bar Kamta succeed in bringing about the destruction. Had the rabbis executed him, or had they accepted the sacrifice, had they not listened to the advice of Rabbi Zechariah, so really the temple wouldn't have been destroyed. But God saw to it that things evolved in a way that Bar Kamta was successful in bringing down the temple. And it all stemmed from the shame that Bar Kamta was shamed. So we see how weighty it is before God if a person is shamed. Had Bar Kamta not been shamed, the temple might not have been destroyed at that point. The idea of shaming a person is touching a person where he hurts, touching a person at his core. And when we shame a person, so God takes note, and God cares. The Gemara continues. The Gemara really had said that there were a few stories that brought about a few destructions. Because of Kamta and Bar Kamta, Jerusalem was destroyed. The Gemara also said that because of a rooster and a female rooster, what's that called? Tanigolet. I don't know what it's. A chicken. The city of Tur Malka was destroyed, and the city of Beitar was destroyed because of the side of a woman's chariot. So the Gemara now explains the story of the rooster and the chicken. The Gemara says the following. They used to have the custom that when a chassan and kala would go out, they'd have a male and female rooster walking in front of them. And the idea was that they were alluding to the couple, we bless you, that you should have Pruervu, which the birds were blessed with a special blessing of Pruervu. The verse says, Veha'of yirev ba'aretz. The birds should multiply in the land. So the idea of having these two birds walking in front of the bride and groom was that they too should multiply. Now one day, there was a battalion of Romans that passed by near bride and groom who had this procession going before them. And this battalion of Romans decided that they're taking the chickens. So the people who were there at the procession, they said, no way, those chickens, what, you want them not to have children? This is a segula, this is an illusion, this must be. And so they went and they beat up these Roman soldiers. The soldiers went back to the king and said, the Jews are rebelling. The king sent his soldiers and sent them to subdue this Tur Malka, this mountain of the king, this huge city. Now, the Gemara tells us that they came against Tur Malka, and there was a man there in Tur Malka who was exceptionally skilled. He used to dance, like jump into their camp, and he was able to jump, the Gemara says, 2,000 amma. And when he jumped with this force, anyone who stood in his way would be knocked down dead. So this superman, would just jump into their camp, bang, knock down a bunch of people and kill them, jump back in. the Caesar saw that he's losing his soldiers like flies to this Bar de Roma, so he didn't know what to do. He's losing everything. He took his crown, put it on the ground, and said, Master of the world, Ribono Shel Olam, don't put me and my whole kingdom, don't defeat us all at the hands of one man. Bar de Roma is confident. Day after day, he's just knocking down hundreds of soldiers. And he's confident that he's going to succeed. And after the Roman Caesar gives up this prayer to God, Bar de Roma makes an error. Bar de Roma says the verse in Tehillim, Halo ata Elokim zenachtanu velo tetze Elokim betzivoteinu. Meaning, God, we're doing okay. We don't need you in our forces. Don't intervene, but we're doing just fine. And the Gemara asks, wait a second. Before we ask about Bar de Roma, how did David say such a pasuk? So the Gemara says that when David HaMelech said the pasuk, he was praising God who saved him. And he was saying it with question mark form. God, have you left us? Are you not among our camps? For sure, if you're not with us, we won't succeed. But Bar de Roma, when he said this verse, he was saying it with confidence. God, you leave us. God, you don't have to go out in our battalions. It's just a question. Do you read it with a question mark or as a statement? David read it as a question mark. Bar de Roma said it as a statement. Bar de Roma said that, just as the Caesar was praying, God, don't let my whole force fall at the hands of one man. Bar de Roma went to the bathroom, and a snake came and bit him, and he died. So here we have another example of what we discussed earlier, that a non-Jew's prayer is accepted. It's interesting to note that when the Roman Caesar turned to prayer before God, he took his crown and put it on the floor. He went to pray with an act of modesty. Before you, God, we are modest. We have halachot about how to show modesty. The average person, when he stands in prayer, bows in the beginning of prayer twice and at the end of prayer twice. The greater the person is, the more he must bow. The king, when he goes to pray, begins by bowing and doesn't get up till he's finished his prayer. The greater a person is, the more modesty he must show. So the Caesar had the right idea when he took his crown, put it on the floor before God, and asked God for his help. Now, the Caesar thought, you know what? God helped me out here. I had a miracle. I couldn't have won Bar de Roma. So if God made me this miracle, so this time I'll let these people alone. And so he took his camps, he took his forces, and left. The people of Tur Malka, they were very happy. They partied. They lit candles. They lit so many candles that 1,000 footsteps away from the city, you could still look at a coin and see the exact shape of the coin from their candles that they were celebrating. The king sees the people of Tur Malka celebrating, and he thought, they're making fun of me. They're making fun of me. So now he did an about face. And he came back to Tur Malka. He brought, in a surprise attack, 300,000 soldiers. And they slaughtered for 3 days and three nights throughout the city. And the city was such a big city that after 3 days and three nights, there were still people at the other edge of town who were still celebrating. They hadn't heard that in one end of town there was such a slaughter going on. Now, the truth is that the people did right in celebrating the fact that they were saved from the destruction. But the Marsha explains a very important point. He says, there are two types of celebration. There's celebration that we turn to Hashem in praise and song and we thank Hashem. Hashem did us a miracle, we are obligated to thank. They didn't do that. They ate, and drank and rejoiced. They said, "We won! We had strong armies!" And when they celebrated that way, so then they weren't focusing their celebration on God, they're focusing their celebration on their own success. And as such, their celebration turned to mourning, turned to destruction. It's something for us to think about nowadays, that the focus of Yom HaTzmaut is the mangal, the focus of Yom HaTzmaut is the time we go and party, instead of the focus of Yom HaTzmaut being the time that we thank Hashem. And I'm not going into the question of should you say Hallel with the bracha or without a bracha, but if there's anything that should be celebrated, and of course, I mean, we did have tremendous assistance from the Ribbono Shel Olam, for sure we have to say thank you. We have to remember that the focus of the celebration, we have to learn from the people of Tur Malka, it has to be focused upward, thanking the Ribbono Shel Olam. Abaye turned to his Rebbe Rav Yosef and he asked him, he said, the people of Tur Malka were righteous people. They were exceptionally righteous, and that's why they had these miracles, that they could have one man, Bar Daroma, who could leap 2,000 feet and destroy so many soldiers. So if they were so righteous, why were they punished? By Yasser of Yosef, why did they deserve this terrible destruction? And Rav Yosef answers, and we have to know that this, the great Rav Yosef, could tell us. We can't call the shots and say this is why this happened, this is why that happened. But Rav Yosef, he obviously had an answer, and he said to Abaye, the city was destroyed because when Jerusalem was destroyed, they didn't mourn. The verse in Isaiah tells us, "Simchu et Yerushalayim vegilu vakol ohaveha sisu itam asos kol hamitabelim aleha." The prophet in Isaiah says, whoever loves Jerusalem and wants to see it rebuilt, who is that person? That is a person who mourned its destruction. And that person, the prophet Isaiah says, will merit to see it rebuilt. But we see that we have an obligation to mourn its destruction when it's destroyed. These people, as righteous as they were when Jerusalem was destroyed, they weren't mourning. They had their house in Brooklyn. I'm sorry, Har HaMelech. They had their possessions. They were okay. So they weren't mourning. They weren't mourning, says Rav Yosef. That's what happened. And we have a tradition, and this is quoted in Halacha, that if we mourn correctly now for the destruction of Jerusalem, then when it will be rebuilt, Bezat Hashem, we will be among those that rejoice in its rebuilding.